Is there a way that, because I had to deal with the situation myself. Is there a way that we can, as a SASP, if we make any type of errors in that, like sending the purchaser's receipt, the signed purchaser's receipt, is there a way that we could be able to delete those ourselves versus waiting for somebody to do it and then have to go back to it? If you understand what I'm the question I'm asking.
Sure, yes, I understand. That would be more of a question for our sales team. If you want, you can email it to me and I'd be happy to send it to them to get an answer for you. I don't know for sure off the top of my head if that's something that they are planning for.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, there's another question regarding the font on the transfer orders being small. the type on the transfer orders is small. We did this because we wanted to be able to fit more information into the boxes. So I don't know if it would be possible to increase the font size, something we can certainly add to our enhancement log to look at. But as of right now, we're not planning to make any changes to the font size. Okay, okay, there's another question about, can you give the form the ability to cut and paste? So we are aware of this issue as well, and we've submitted it as a defect to our vendor. The issue is that state agencies are not able to copy and paste information from the transfer orders. So we did provide a workaround to one of our state agencies who tested it and said it worked pretty well. And that workaround is to print to PDF. So to take the existing signed PDF, which has signature protections on it, print it to PDF, and then you should be able to copy and paste more information out of the transfer order. Now, that being said, it's not a perfect solution because it doesn't neatly copy and paste all the lines in order. But you should be able to copy one big chunk of information and then kind of pull, you know, paste that into like a notepad or a Word document and pull what you need from there. So I think that that workaround has been working pretty well, and we can share that with you after today's call. I see your question. Are you able to unmute and provide some clarification on what your question is asking?
Yeah, the question, the premise is that when GSA Access went offline and there's a period of time there where we weren't able to request property, and then as the MVP system came up online, I was speaking to our proving officer. It just feels very disjointed that, you know, for an extended period, state of Washington, we couldn't see anything, we couldn't view anything, we couldn't request anything. And in the meantime, you know, the state of Oregon, we're in pretty good contact with them. We're saying, well, yeah, we're requesting things, we're seeing this, we're seeing that. But it feels a bit like, you know, we're very diligent about making sure our 30/40 reports are done, and that we're trying to keep our ratios correct as far as donation program and other things going out. It just feels like we're a bit exposed as far as being able to receive stuff. And I just didn't know if the standards are changing as far as fair and equitable to the SAS as far as distribution of property. We have a great relationship with Stefan. But it's concerning because our DLA site is going down for the full month of October, so we can't request or remove anything out there. So we effectively will be a bit handcuffed for, say, middle of July until end of October as far as distribution of requests that we make. So I just didn't know if you guys were putting procedures and protocols in place to kind of view requests slightly differently and with all this upheaval going on with the system.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're still trying to be fair and equitable on our side in how we allocate the property. We're also implementing new features on the GSA side of the house that will help our allocators be fair and equitable, especially with high value items that are commonly requested by SASP, but not always readily available. So yeah, we're gonna continue to do everything we can to be fair and equitable. Chrissy, do you have anything you wanna add to this one? I don't know if you wanna talk about the reports or anything, but.
Yeah, so Scott, we are updating the allocation grid. It's in its last phases of testing, and then we'll be releasing it, but the allocators will still be using all of the same criteria to allocate, and it will be updated along with the 3040 updates and the over-under report. So they'll be allocating on all of the same metrics. And right now they're using the July metrics. So they're still using it to make allocation decisions.
Okay, thanks guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, this is Scott from Alaska, and I want to kind of just piggyback off of what Scott just said. I know many of you know I've been had a lot of frustrations, probably had one of the worst weeks in this program since I've been running it in 7 years. So basically, you know, property, we were told property was going to be held from, you know, basically it was middle of June all the way through the go live date. And then so I probably had about 250 to 300 man hours in screening property and getting ready for the relaunch, which took some time. I put in for all the property. There was about 1,000 pieces here just in Alaska. That doesn't count the stuff that I went out of state for. And then I got 100% denials across the board because of an SRD date being wrong when it's talking from DLA system to the new PPMS system. Now I understand that there's errors with the a new database coming online. My thing is there going to be something put in place to prevent this from happening again? Because like Scott said, I have the same thing here in Alaska. DLA is closing for the whole month of October. So basically, I'm a cold weather state. So I just lost all the property from all of summer, through basically December now before I'll start seeing new property lists up here. And then up here when it's, 3 feet of snow on the ground, there's not very much property being turned in. So basically that just killed my program for about 6 months because there was no really procedures or protocol in place to where when there's 100 denial notices coming through just on my end, for my state, nobody stepped in. And I mean, I contacted everybody and it's like I pretty much got told, oh, well, it was an error in the system. But, this is kind of our livelihood. And I had, 30 donees I had to go back to and explain what happened to this, and we're still got man hours into it on this side of it. So, and it's going to affect our program for the whole next 6 months to come. So I'm just hoping that there's some kind of procedures that from leadership that can step in. And when you see, that many denials coming in nationwide, that somebody can do something about it because it is our livelihood with our programs. So I just, I've talked to several people about it already, but I wanted to reiterated on this level to know that I'm just hoping this, with the whole new system coming up with DLA here soon, I'm worried about it happening again. So I'm just hoping there can be something put in place that when that many denial notices start coming through, somebody can step in and put a freeze on it, and I understand I got a very good relationship with all the staff here at DLA from management on down, and it was out of their control. They had a procedure. Everything went to Iron Planet as a whole. If that happened nationwide, but it happened here in Alaska, and it's just very disappointing. So I had to voice that at this level.
Understood. And actually, this is a good transition because I actually wanted to hand it over to DLA. We are getting a little short on time, and I wanted to let DLA provide their updates. And this seems like a good time to transfer it over. So Cassie, I'll let you go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, this is Josiah Kidd. I am the chief of the RTD branch within Disposition Services. With me, I've got Cassie Gilbert and Jennifer Labello, who are the program managers for GSA. And I also have Chris McLaughlin, who is a business process analyst with DLA Disposition Services. So going directly to your question, sir. Yes, what you experienced there was a one-time anomaly, and systemically, there will be no more manual intervention concerning the rollout of PPMS. Systemically, from here on out, everything will process through the system normally, so we should not see any more anomalies like you experienced going forward. Did that answer your question, hopefully?
Yeah, thank you.
It does not, obviously it does not alleviate any of the frustrations you've had, but yes, we are confident from a systems perspective that won't happen again because it was the result of a manual intervention.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Okay, so from DLA's perspective as a whole, I just kind of want to go over what's going on and let you know that we are going to send out some correspondence to the tasks and to GSA that kind of outlines what happened and what's going to be going on in the future. But as Christina said, GSA, PPMS has experienced several deficiencies. Some of those deficiencies are directly related to the communication between PPMS and RTD Web, which DLA uses for the requisitioning of property, and screening of property. Additionally, on top of that, as some of you had mentioned, DLA Disposition Services is also rolling out a new property management system called WMS, which is Warehouse Management System. And during the rollout of those two systems, DLA Disposition Services and some of our sites experienced more than 4 weeks of a brownout period where property could not be screened or requisitioned. And as a direct result of that, many of our sites, the majority of our sites, became severely impacted with storage space, which oftentimes nearly became a point when we could not accomplish our core mission, which is receiving end-of-life cycle property from our military services customers. And as a result of that, we worked with GSA to request expedited processing of our property. And during the implementation of that process on our side, we mistakenly expedited process, the expedited screening prior to allowing the donation allocation. So that's where many of you were able, may have noticed that you weren't able to screen the property. While GSA and DLA Disposition Services both have sales, our method of sales are completely different. DLA Disposition Services uses a sales contractor, and we're contractually obligated to provide that property to them after the 42-day screening cycle is completed, or in this case, expedited screening process is completed. So in this case, once the expedited process ended, the property systemically and contractually rolled over to our sales contractor. Once the property goes to the sales contractor, the property is picked, physically picked from our shelf, and systemically picked and billed to the contractor. Once that takes place, the property can no longer be clawed back, which is, again, a departure from the way GSA's method of sales works. And oftentimes it becomes economically unviable for us to even consider trying to claw any of it back. And unfortunately, that's where the 19,000 items that we expedited ended up. We caught too late that the property had missed donation, so we were unable to claw that back prior to the property being picked and picked and billed to our sales contractor. In addition to that, at the same time, nearly the same time, we discovered that many of the requisitions that were being submitted were not making it to us. That was, again, one of the defects that has been discovered and is being worked on actively. We were actually in meetings this morning concerning it. However, once we discovered the defect, we worked with GSA to get copies of the all the requisitions, and DLA is now manually inputting all of your requisitions until we can get the requisition feed corrected between PPMS and RTD. So going forward, how do we ensure that this doesn't take place going forward? So number one, we will not be, in relation to this specific issue, we will not be expediting any screening going forward. So we will not be seeing any of this taking place. Additionally, as I said, we are going to be manually processing any requisition that comes in until our processes, our systems can start to talk to each other. GSA's IT and DLA's J6, which is our IT, are actively working together to address all of the deficiencies, both on the front end and the back end, and hopefully we'll get some of those addressed very shortly. As Christina said, we're looking forward to some of those taking place in October. That's all I had, but I will open up the floor to any questions to myself, our process owners, or our BPA.
Hey, Josie, this is Mike Bustay, Nebraska.
Okay, I got Nebraska.
Yeah. Hey, when you said that, you know, you had gone over the 42 days, that property was in PPMS, you know, for its full 21 cycle. Why wasn't it caught earlier that we could just do an expedited screening and allocation so that we could have got that usable property? That would have been, a workable solution for everybody.
Yes. So it was, again, if the expedited process really was a direct result of the storage impact to DLA disposition services. Unlike many of the DLA distribution or some of the larger DLA MSCs, DLA disposition services has very, very, very small footprints. I'm sure many of you have seen it. So when we have sites that have gone offline for between 4 and 6 weeks, it becomes physically impossible to store that property. As a result, many times the property that we receive has to be stored outside, which then results in property being downgraded, which isn't good for anyone because we often lose a lot of property. Electronic or electrical equipment is destroyed by the weather. So that's why the decision was chosen to expedite the process. Additionally, and Chris, please correct me if I'm wrong, the implementation of PPMS and WMS, we had to restart the screening depending on where it was in the cycle. So it would have thrown the numbers off on either end. So the decision was made to restart it at the beginning of GSA screening cycle and do the expedited processing beginning then. And again, that's where we mistakenly processed it on our end, as we bypassed, unintentionally bypassed the donation customers at that point.
This is Cassie. I just want to add a little bit here, just to maybe explain it a little simpler. During the whole time that we were down for PPMS to roll out, we were holding that property. We were changing the cycle. We continued to pull things back so it didn't continue to roll through the cycle. We kept moving it and leaving it in GSA screening cycle. But what that ended up doing was having over 50,000 line items in GSA screening. So when the decision was made that we needed to move some of that stuff, we went with the oldest items first, the ones that we had moved at the very beginning.
Naturally screened.
Yeah, should have naturally screening, went through the screening cycle. Those were the ones that we had to roll to sales for our upper management.
Yeah, thank you, DLA, for providing such a you know, detailed explanation. I do think it helps a lot. Do any of our SASPs have additional questions for DLA or for GSA?
Yeah, this is Sam from Idaho. This question is for DLA. So in my tenure of being with the SASP, and I've been here since the contract was issued with Iron Planet, in the past, fairly certain we have seen property pulled back from Iron Planet into the property inadvertently went to them. Is it possible that NASAS could please get the contract between DLA and Iron Planet that shows that that is contractually impossible to do? That way NASAS could review that contract and take a look at it. I would assume it's public record.
So it is not contractually impossible to do it. As I mentioned, it has to be economically feasible. And given the time period from when we expedited the process until we noticed the error, the vast majority of that property had already been, like I said, picked, built, and shipped. And at that point in time, once the property has been billed and picked by the contractor, in this case Iron Planet, pays for their own transportation. So therefore, there's no economic incentive for them to return the property. So typically, the return from sales process is done for items such as national security items, so deem a required property that we have to retrieve because of national security issues. That's what the provision within the contract is for.
So all of the property that was awarded and then denied to State of Alaska, if they were willing to go to the Iron Planet's yard and pick up that property, wouldn't it just be a paperwork issue and economically feasible for the State of Alaska to go get that property to their dummies?
So we have gone through the property. We have gone through all the property that had been issued to Iron Planet and retrieved as much of it as we possibly could. But again, that property that is picked and built is a completely different process than any property that has yet to be picked on our end. That stuff we're able to claw back quite easily. Anything else requires return from sales and anything like that. As far as anything specific on the at the field level, that all has to be addressed directly with the field site and their leadership. So I'm aware of some of the issues that went on in Alaska. I'm not aware of all of them. I know I did speak directly with the leadership out there to see if it was still feasible, but they had mentioned that it started to pick, build, and at least a portion of it was retrieved. I don't know all the details of that site specifically.
And this is Chris with CLA. Just to add a little context to this, keep in mind that while your organizations were not able to requisition property because of the brownout due to the system coming online, our sales contractors were also, because they come after your process, were also not able to fill any of their sales orders. So they were chomping at the bit to get this stuff. So when we finally did make the big push to get all of that stuff so we could obligate or honor the terms of the contract and, clear up warehouse space and all that stuff, they came and gobbled up all that stuff really quick. Typically, that stuff can sit there and we pick it, but it isn't necessarily removed at that time. But, the stuff went to sales and they were eager to get their hands on that property and they took it away before it was not only economically feasible, but systemically feasible for us to unscrew that up. Just to add some context there. Normally, in a normal situation, it's a lot easier to pull stuff back than in these extraordinary situations where, our contractor was dying to get this property. They were essentially waiting for it to fall into their hands. That just added an extra layer of challenge to unscrewing up this mess. Over.
This is Kathy. I want to add one additional thing on this. Just so you understand, at the end of the screening cycle, RTD2 would normally be on a Thursday and Friday. On Saturday, items roll to sales. Monday morning, that field site will have a delivery order. So in normal business process, if something has just rolled to sales and Monday morning, we get in and there was a situation where something didn't process correctly, we would be able to pull it back within a day or so. But with this and the circumstances, that delivery order, once it's not necessarily that the property is removed by the sales contractor, but if it's been picked in the system by a joint inventory is done with the field site and the sales contractor, and it's been billed, that happens immediately, then we are not allowed to pull it back. It costs us to pull that item back from the sales contractor.
This is Scott from Alaska. I appreciate that explanation, Cassie. That makes a little more sense, because I started working, Monday was a holiday. The denials didn't really start rolling until Wednesday. I worked it from, first thing in the morning, Alaska time, the whole Wednesday, Thursday. I was at DLA site multiple times, even on Friday afternoon, picking up the one piece that I was able to get. And all the property was still out there. I mean, a couple of Humvees have been removed, but I mean, there was a dozer, skid steers. It was all, high ticket stuff that I had donees for. And I can guarantee you that dozer is still sitting out there. It was at a third party location. And that's, I was trying to target five of the big pieces at least. I know I missed out on 800 of them, and I understand the process. But, what Sam was saying, it just seems like, I've worked in logistics and warehouse world my whole life, on base and off base. And it's like, even though when something's picked, I don't understand why we couldn't just get even a few of the pieces back. It hadn't moved. It's still there. It's a matter of paperwork. So, and I don't understand your guys' end completely. But it seems like when it just comes down to paperwork, one or two items, I wasn't asking for the world to be brought back, on the record to be able to grab. So but your explanation, made sense. But there, as far as everything else, there was adequate room at this site here. There was none of the property had moved. I was out there 3 or 4 days later, and it was still there. So I just kind of want to reiterate that from my end, how it seemed for me. So.
Well, and I would like to respond to the context about the Iron Planet was suffering and functioning for this property too. In my 11-year tenure of being with the SASP, NASASP and the SASP have always been told that the donation process of this property, donating it to our eligible donees and nonprofits and stuff like that, is priority over sales. And so I don't see much context in Iron Planet's suffering or functioning for this property if the donation process is supposed to be the priority.
Let me add to what Chris said. So everything has to go through screening, from a DLA Disposition Services perspective, everything, we want things to be realized. We want to give it to transfer donation customers. That is, especially within this office, that is our primary job. Nothing goes to sales without first being offered up. Obviously, this was an unintentional mistake. But just to clarify what Chris was saying is that they were offline just as long as our RTD customers. So they were essentially waiting for property to hit. So when they're saying they're chomping, or when Chris was saying they're chomping at the bits, they were literally just waiting for that property to roll over before they could start scheduling trucks and start picking property and stuff like that. So there is no change in the fact that we're trying to prioritize sales over RTD at all. Our number one mission is still RTD and always will be RTD. Please just make sure just want to make sure it's known that sales is not prioritized over RTD whatsoever. Like I said, this was an unfortunate oversight on our end that allowed for the donation cycle to be missed.
This is Tim Bowles from Michigan. I put a question in the chat for DLA, but I don't want it to get messed, so I'll ask it. Josie, you mentioned providing a follow-up report regarding all this that you're going to send out. Is there any way that you could include the total number of items that we missed out on and what that total dollar value of those items is?
Yes. So the total number of items is 19,500 DTIS. I don't have the dollar value. at this point in time, but yes, we can provide that.
Thank you.
I have a totally different topic. Excuse me for all the noise. It's been an issue for us in South Dakota. Our main screener puts stuff in his cart, and when he goes in to look at it again on the property search, it says that he requested it, but we cannot see it in his cart. Is that part of the problem you mentioned earlier about not being able to put things in your cart? Because my senior secretary, Jerry, who's here with me, has been on the phone for countless hours with the help desk and with different tech people, and nobody seems to be able to fix his cart. So we're just wondering, you know, can they delete his cart and reopen it or something that would help us to be able to make that a functional cart? He can only have one email address with the state. So it's not like we can just change the email address and get him a new account.
Okay, that is very specific, and I feel like I need to look into that. So if you can email me, I'd be happy to follow up with you offline.
Okay, and I will include Jerry in that too, because she will have a lot more information on what exactly she's been doing with that. So thank you, Christina.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. Okay.
Hey, Christina, can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I was just going to ask that same scenario. This is Mike with Nebraska. When what she's talking about is when you add something to your cart, if there's a quantity of three, it will show that you have already requested it, but it is not, you have not, just because it's in your cart, it shows that you have requested it. For some reason,
yes.
I don't know why. That's what the issue is. Once you put it in your cart, it shows that you're requesting it, but you haven't completed you haven't checked out yet.
Yes, understood. Thank you. That helped me. Okay. So this is a known issue that our contractor is working to fix. I actually think they may have completed the fix, and it's ready for GSA testing as of today. So let me double check on that, and I can get you both an answer. Because that is a known issue. So after today's call, I can take a look and see if I have to test it and make sure that the fix works. But I think we should have a fix for this very soon. Okay, so I see we have one last question about the meeting being recorded. No, this meeting was not recorded, but I will provide the GSA slide deck for you after the call. So we'll at least have that for you. I know we're a little bit over time, so I think we're going to wrap here. If you have any additional questions for GSA or for DLA, you can feel free to email them to us. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. We really do value all of our state agencies. We value the partnership that we have. I know this, you know, last month and a half has been a little bit challenging, but we really do appreciate you and your patience. We ask for your continued patience as we work as hard as we can to implement changes, defect fixes, and enhancements. So thank you all very much for your time today. I hope you have a great rest of the day. And as always, let us know if you have any questions. Thank you.